Welcome to the East County Magazine Live Radio Show, the voice of East County, bringing you the hottest news and coolest events from the communities of San Diego's East County. We're your community radio, representing the public interest, not special interests. Broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso with your host, Miriam Raftery.
This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, recording at our studio in East County. Today we open our show with our dissection of the Republican health care bill and why major organizations such as the American Medical Association and the AARP, or American Association of Retired Persons, are saying this measure would harm patients and make health care unaffordable for seniors. Then, on our Capitol Report, we'll have information on what's changed in President Trump's revised travel ban. We'll also speak with Enrique Morones from Border Angels on what rights immigrants facing possible deportation should know about. Learn why a board member in the Otay Water District is in hot water over racially inflammatory remarks. Hear why Attorney General Jeff Sessions recused himself from any probe into Trump's ties to Russia. And then on our Green Scene Report, learn how Trump's executive order eliminating clean water protections for streams will impact drinking water supplies in San Diego County. Learn about a court ruling in California making clear that public officials can't hide conversations about the public's business by using private email accounts. From Public News Service, learn about questions being raised over immigration laws. Now, here in East County, you can learn today about La Mesa City Council's actions on marijuana dispensaries. And then on People Power, hear about some local heroes who recently had their own red carpet moment to be honored. On Destination East County, hear about some unique events, ranging from a honey festival in Alpine to a lilac festival in Santa Isabel, and many more coming up this weekend and over the next month. Plus, we'll have some good news about local reservoirs finally filling up after all this rain. And we'll wrap up with a sports report on an Aztecs football coach who just got a big promotion. So stay tuned for all of these stories on today's edition of the East County Magazine Radio Show, where East County matters. This is Miriam Raftery with some important information on the Republicans' proposed bill that would repeal the Affordable Care Act, or Obamacare, and replace it with what's called the American Health Care Act, or what some are calling Trump Care. The nation's biggest organizations representing patients, doctors, nurses, and senior citizens have come out against the bill that's being fast-tracked through Congress. The American Medical Association, or AMA, the American Association of Retired Persons, or AARP, and other patient advocacy groups warn that the plan will weaken benefits and make health care much more expensive than many people are paying now, whether you're on an ACA plan, private health insurance, or Medicaid. Dr. Andrew Gurman, president of the American Medical Association, the nation's largest doctor's professional group, says the bill would result in millions of Americans losing coverage and benefits. He adds, by replacing income-based premium subsidies with age-based tax credits, AHCA will also make coverage more expensive, if not out of reach, for poor and sick Americans. In a letter to key committee members in the House, the AMA further notes that over 20 million Americans have health care coverage due to Obamacare, and that the Republicans' legislation would result in decline in health insurance and potential harm to vulnerable patients. The bill also weakens protections not only for those who have coverage under the Affordable Care Act, but also those who have policies provided by employers or who purchase private plans on their own. President Donald Trump has repeatedly promised to repeal Obamacare and replace it with a plan that he says would be better. But an analysis of the Trump Care bill finds that it offers zero improvements in health care quality or affordability for most Americans, while it destroys many protections under Obamacare and offers help for only two classes, tax cuts for insurance companies and for wealthy Americans. Now, we've dissected this bill, and here's what it actually would do if it becomes law. It would repeal Obamacare, or the Affordable Care Act, and eliminate all subsidies. Instead, tax credits would be provided for you to buy your own health care insurance. You would pay up front and save only about $2,000 to a maximum of $5,000 on your taxes. That's far less than the cost of buying most policies. Older people can be charged up to five times more than young people. The AARP estimates that seniors ages 50 to 64 will pay $8,500 a year more for health insurance than they do currently. Now, you can't get those tax credits at all for any policy that covers abortion. And that's a big problem in California. Why? Because California's Supreme Court has ruled that our state's constitutional privacy rights require abortion access, and thus state law was changed to require that all health care policies in California cover abortion, the LA Times reports. That can't be changed without a constitutional amendment, which is not likely to pass in liberal California. And so most Californians will have to pay 100% of your health care policy costs with no tax credit, costs that are forecast to be much higher than under the ACA. The Republican bill also ends the mandate to buy health care. Now, that was a very unpopular mandate. So now, younger and healthier people may opt to not get any coverage at all. That puts them at risk if they develop a serious illness, of course, or surgery. But it also means that insurers won't have as many premiums from lower-risk young people, and they'll still have to pay for care for higher-risk individuals. So that will force rates higher for everyone else and could lead to some insurers getting out of the business entirely. Now, if you're without insurance short-term, such as due to losing a job, you can be charged 30% more when you try to buy coverage again. That could lead to people being unable to afford policies. The measure also ends all funding for Planned Parenthood clinics, not only for abortion, but all medical services such as mammograms and birth control. The bill keeps an Obamacare provision that prohibits insurers from denying insurance if you have a pre-existing condition, and that's a good thing, but they can charge you more. You can still keep your kids on the plan until age 26, just like under Obamacare, but only if you can afford their premiums. The measure cuts Medicaid expansion and guts Medicaid coverage. Starting in 2020, the federal government would stop funding people who newly qualify for Medicaid. The bill also ends the guarantee that every eligible person will get Medicaid coverage. States would get a lump sum per person, and it's too small to keep up with rising medical costs, experts say. That would force states to slash the number of recipients who are eligible, or cut benefits, or slash reimbursements to doctors, or perhaps a combination of all of the above. The bill also ends taxes that paid for Obamacare, such as new payroll taxes on the wealthy, taxes on tanning parlors, and certain health care companies. The Republicans have not announced any plan for how they will fund their plan. Their plan also eliminates penalties for employers who don't provide health care coverage to workers and weakens requirements for coverage in these plans, as well as coverage in private plans. So that means if you're getting health care coverage through your employer, that could go away with no penalty. The bill amends the Social Security Act also, gutting protections for orphaned children, widows, and widowers. A little-known provision would end preventative screenings and other health benefits provided by Social Security to children who lose a parent through death and to widows and widowers. Now, Trump tweeted on Thursday that despite what you're hearing in media, healthcare is coming along great. We are talking to many groups and it will end in a beautiful picture, he says. But that's not what major healthcare stakeholders are saying. Doctors and hospital groups say they have not been consulted on this plan. The GOP drafted its bill behind closed doors and pushed it through two key committees that approved it this week without allowing time for analysis or public input. Vice President Mike Pence has stated he believes the bill will become law this spring. But he adds, if there are ways to improve that bill and give people greater confidence that we are all going to arrive at the same place, then that's where we're headed. But even some Republicans who support repealing the Affordable Care Act are voicing concern over the fast-tracked process. Other conservatives argue that it doesn't go far enough to eliminate what they call entitlements. But Americans have paid into Medicare and Social Security, and so they are entitled to receive the benefits that they paid for. Four Republican senators have also voiced concerns over cuts in Medicare, Medicaid, that they believe go too far in the Republican bill. But Kentucky Senator Rand Paul, a libertarian-leaning Republican, criticized the bill as Obamacare light because it contains tax credits. He favors a free market approach where government would provide no help at all to anybody to afford health care. The bill has drawn virtually unanimous opposition from Democrats. San Diego Congresswoman Susan Davis, a Democrat, tweeted, after having their health care bill under lock and key, refusing to let anyone read it, the GOP has finally freed the bill. After looking at it, I think they should have kept it hidden. Education and labor groups are also weighing in to voice concerns over the impacts on students and working people. Cuts to Medicaid would shortchange school districts that provide health services to our most vulnerable students and wreak havoc on state budgets, says Randy Weingarten, the president of the American Federation of Teachers. She adds, repealing the ACA will have substantial effects on jobs, too. Experts estimate that it could cost Americans up to 2.5 million jobs in 2019 alone. Weingarten acknowledges that the ACA or Obamacare needs to be fixed, and that's an admission even Obamacare's strongest supporters acknowledge. But she opposes repeal unless a replacement offers something better, like more affordable coverage. One of the biggest problems of the ACA has been affordability. Republicans have promised everyone will have access to health care under their plan, but access is meaningless if you can't afford to pay for it. That's like saying you can afford a Rolls Royce when you don't have the money to buy the vehicle. The teachers' union leader concludes, of course, the ACA had its problems and needed to be fixed, but this plan does none of that. It rips health care away from Americans to give huge tax breaks to the wealthy, which is about as cruel as it gets. And, she concludes, this isn't a health care plan. It's a massive giveaway to insurance companies and those at the top, while it hits America's families with a triple whammy of less coverage, higher costs, and more taxes. Across the nation, congressional members are facing large crowds at town hall meetings from constituents who are very concerned about health care changes, among other issues. Constituents are being urged by activist groups to call their members of Congress or write to them and speak out at town hall meetings. Three local congressional members are holding town hall meetings this Saturday. Republican Duncan Hunter will hold his town hall March 11th, that's this Saturday, at 10 a.m. at the Ramona main stage in Ramona. Activists on both sides are planning to arrive early, since this event is first come, first serve, and the venue seats only about 325 people. Republican Daryl Issa plans two town hall meetings, both at the Junior Seau Recreation Center in Oceanside at 8:30 and 10 a.m. Democrat Susan Davis's website states that her venue at SDSU has reached capacity at 1,200 people. RSVPs were accepted in advance for her event. Now, Congressman Issa's office had announced that videotaping by citizens would not be allowed at his town hall meeting. However, East County Magazine has checked with Californians Aware attorney Terry Frank, who says it is legal and you have a First Amendment right to videotape at any town hall meeting held by your member of Congress that's open to the public. And that's your right under both the U.S. Constitution's First Amendment and California's Constitution. Now, if you wish to contact your member of Congress to voice your views on the health care bill or any other measure, you can visit our site at eastcountymagazine.org and click the Citizens Action tab to find their phone numbers, office locations, and email addresses. This is East County Magazine's Capitol Report, bringing you the latest news and newsmakers from our nation's capital.
This is Jonathan Getz with East County Magazine's Capitol Report. President Donald Trump has issued a new, more narrowly crafted executive order restricting refugees' entry into the United States. His action comes after the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals blocked implementation of his earlier executive order as unconstitutional. Here's what the new ban includes. A 120-day ban on refugees from all nations entering the United States. The total number of refugees admitted has been reduced from 110,000 approved by the Obama administration to 50,000 for this fiscal year. A 90-day ban on issuance of new visas to people from six mainly Muslim countries, Iran, Libya, Somalia, Sudan, Syria, and Yemen. Iraq has been dropped from the list at the urging of the State Department to assure that those helping the U.S. military can be protected and after improved vetting. Syrian refugees will no longer be blocked indefinitely, though the 120-day restriction for all refugees will apply to Syrians. People with green cards and visas are now able to enter the U.S., unlike under the previous order. This includes people with green cards and visas who were denied entry after the earlier ban took effect. The new order will not take effect until March 16th to avoid chaos at airports or people in mid-transit being detained, as occurred with the earlier ban. The new ban has drawn both praise and criticism. A statement from the Department of Homeland Security says the new executive order will make America safer and address long overdue concerns about the security of our immigration system. The department will also undergo a review of its visa and refugee vetting programs. Secretary of State Rex Tillerson called the new order a vital measure for strengthening our national security, while noting that no system is infallible. Homeland Security statement makes clear that nothing in this executive order affects current lawful permanent residents or persons with current authorization to enter our country. If you have a current valid visa to travel, we welcome you. But unregulated, unvetted travel is not a universal privilege, especially when national security is at stake. The American Civil Liberties Union issued a statement pledging to challenge the new measure in court. The ACLU statement reads in part, "When President Trump first introduced his unconstitutional Muslim ban, we took him to court and won. Today, he is introducing a new version of the ban, and we have every intention to beat him again." Amnesty International Executive Director Margaret Hung calls the revised order just another Muslim ban. It is the same hate and fear with new packaging. California Attorney General Xavier Becerra issued a statement indicating that Trump's decision to rescind his earlier travel ban after multiple court rulings against his administration confirms that the travel ban was unconstitutional and un-American. Becerra, who filed amicus briefs joining the successful challenge filed by Washington State, said his office will be closely examining the new order to assure it respects our Constitution and our way of life, adding, "No one will or should soon forget the Trump administration's multiple public promises to ban Muslims from the country." Our state attorneys general called the new order's change to allow legal residents and visa holders entry a step in the right direction, adding, "It represents a major victory for the thousands of lawful permanent residents and visa holders in California, as well as those across our nation who cherish our Constitution, diversity, tolerance, and fairness." The Main Street Alliance, a national network of small business owners, issued a statement suggesting the order has discriminatory intent, adding, "Endangered refugees will lose hope of safe resettlement, people will suffer, and communities and local economies will be hurt." The business group blames Trump's earlier executive order for causing the Trump slump, a sharp decline in tourism that economists believe will cost the U.S. at least $10 billion annually. With millions of small business owners relying on tourism to drive their local economies and support their businesses, this decline could result in closed doors, lost jobs, and crumbling Main Street, the group states. Research shows that the vast majority of refugees work and pay taxes within a few months of arriving in the U.S., the Main Street Alliance notes, adding, "They start businesses, create jobs, buy homes, renew neighborhoods, and pump dollars into the local economy. This means a stronger, more inclusive, and thriving Main Street." Mark Arabo, president of the Minority Humanitarian Foundation in San Diego, says the decision to allow Iraqis to enter the U.S. is welcomed by many Chaldean Christians locally, but that others believe the broad ban on refugees hurts the U.S. and our interests overseas. "This is a welcome decision for Iraqis, but not for refugees around the world," Arabo states. "There is no disclaimer on the Statue of Liberty. Our Constitution does not come with fine print. The premise still remains the same. Any blanket ban on refugees doesn't protect us. It makes us a target. President Trump is giving terrorists around the world ammunition for their beliefs. He continues to fan the flames of extremist hatred and ideology. I can only pray that his irrational decisions do not bring harm to our nation," Rabo states.
California immigrant rights groups say they're puzzled and want more details after President Trump sent conflicting signals about immigration on Tuesday. First, the president reportedly told a group of news anchors that he's open to some sort of compromise that potentially would allow undocumented immigrants who have not committed a serious crime to gain legal status but not citizenship. Then he made no mention of it in his speech to Congress later that night. Polo Morales with the Coalition for Humane Immigrant Rights says he takes everything Trump says with a grain of salt.
"We've heard a lot of things from this administration all throughout the campaign. It's not really clear on what type of compromise bill he's talking about. The only legislation that we see that is a positive one at this point is the Bridge Act, but that hasn't moved and we haven't heard anything about it."
The Bridge Act would give legal status to certain people who were brought to this country as children. Trump, in his speech to Congress, focused on enforcement, not reform. He announced the creation of a new office called VOICE, which stands for Victims of Immigration Crime Engagement, that would highlight crimes committed by undocumented immigrants. Morales says the move is designed to spread fear and only makes compromise more elusive.
"Every week, having a list of undocumented people who have committed crimes and having that lead stories out there, that is not a way to get to the immigration reform. It's actually very divisive and very dangerous."
The U.S. Senate passed the so-called Gang of Eight Comprehensive Immigration Reform Bill in 2013, but it has stalled in the House of Representatives ever since. For Public News Service, I'm Suzanne Potter.
Enrique Morones, Executive Director of Border Angels, started the organization in 1986.
And you had the United States building a wall in 1994. After Reagan in the 80s, I said, Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall, the United States builds its own wall. And that has led to the death of more than 11,000 people.
At the time, he collected clothes and food for the homeless, but a friend suggested he bring the necessities to Carlsbad Canyons. She told him strawberry and flower field workers were living in the gorges.
So it's really a stressful situation. There's a lot of fear in the community.
He thought providing migrants with water and food would only last for a couple of months, but it's been 31 years.
There's a lot of risks for the migrants themselves. As far as people that are aiding the undocumented community, we're going to do it because we have a moral high ground to do it. And like I said, I've never asked anybody. I don't ask all those people upstairs. I have no idea if they're documented or not. I would bet to say that 99% are not. But they're more than welcome to come here to get free immigration services. And we will continue to do that.
Morones commits his life to activism and education for the immigrant community. He offers tips and risks for migrants facing deportation.
Do not open the door. They need to have a search warrant. And if they have that search warrant, they should put it underneath the door. And it's got to be signed by a judge. But how would you or I know if that's the judge's signature? They could have just signed it out there, right? Which makes it not a valid search warrant. But you open the door, they come in, and all of a sudden they'll say, oh, by the way, where were you born? Where were you born? And they deport a bunch of people. So we tell people, do not open the door. If the person they're looking for is in the house, and that person decides to do it, have them come out through the back and show themselves in the front and say, here I am. There's no need to talk to anybody else. Here I am. Take me away. If there's something going on, like a raid or something, don't be signing documents. Ask for an attorney. Ask for the consulate office of your respective country. It's Mexico, Guatemala, wherever. Say, I want to speak to my consul general. I want to speak to an attorney. You know, because if you start opening your mouth, like, where were you born? All of a sudden, even though they might be kind of friendly, like, oh, where are you from? You know, that kind of stuff. All of a sudden they say, oh yeah, you were born in Mexico. Let me see your papers. How did you get into the country? Where's your visa?
James Duane, a professor at Virginia's Regent Law School, told Vice that people should only talk to cops when requesting a lawyer to be present.
Make sure you see an attorney before. So if you are a deported, you have to have things in order already. Like, I'm going to be deported because the guys just busted me or whatever. And my son was born here. But I can't say, I want my son to stay with so-and-so. You have to set that up beforehand. You have to give power of attorney to so-and-so. I want my son to stay with my brother. Well, you got to sign that before. You can remain silent. You can remain silent if you want. And people don't know these things. And that's why not only do we have the attorney upstairs, right now we have one attorney, we're going to be having sessions with several attorneys because we're just getting too big a crowd. And the first day, November 9th, the day after the election, we had people outside waiting. They were saying, I'm DAPA, I'm DACA. Deferred action for childhood arrival. My parents took me across the border when I was little. I had no say in the matter. President Obama signed the executive order, so I'm being protected. What's going to happen to me now?
Border Angels leads guided trips to the California-Mexican border to place water along migrant crossing routes in the desert.
We're putting water in the desert, for example. You know, we talk to the Border Patrol, tell them where we're going to be at. There's no problem with that. But if I pick somebody up along the way back, and it doesn't have to be putting water, it could be right here in downtown San Diego, and the person's undocumented, they could accuse you of trafficking, of smuggling, saying, wait a minute, how did I know this guy was undocumented? I'm just giving him a ride to the gas station because his car broke down or whatever. So it depends. It depends. These are punishable. But the thing is, how are we supposed to know?
Obama deported 3.1 million people during his 8 years in office, according to the Department of Homeland Security.
The person that has deported more people than anybody by far was actually George Bush. And the Republicans are very smart about telling everybody, oh, it's Obama, deporter-in-chief. It's because they started counting the deportations different. Think about it. When Bush was president, the raids were going on in the interior of the country. With President Obama, you didn't see that type of raid, very rarely, but they started counting the guy that jumps over the wall and gets deported. They included those numbers.
The Economist reported Border Patrol agents no longer just patrol the border. They scour the country for illegals to eject. The deportation machine costs more than all other areas of federal criminal law enforcement combined.
We need to have humane immigration policies. More people have left than are coming now, and we need to have humane laws so that the people can stay.
A Pew study found a third of undocumented immigrants were employed in service positions. Roughly 15% work construction and extraction jobs, while 14% work in production, installation, and repair professions. and 13% work in sales, office, and administrative support roles, although 13% held professional, management, or business and finance roles.
Everybody pays sales tax. Undocumented people pay $8 billion a year just in Social Security, because they can go to the Social Security office and get an ITN number, identification tax number. So they'll pay into the system, and they're never going to see that money. So it's a situation that people need to realize it needs to be fixed. Everybody agrees the immigration system is broken. Everybody wants to have secure borders, but we need to do it in an intelligent manner.
Border Angels provides free immigration services and consultations in Spanish and English every Tuesday at Sherman Heights Community Center.
I don't think Trump's going to keep on protecting you, although he says he will, but you can't trust him. Because when he said he cares for these kids, in the next sentence he said, but I'm going to go after their parents. I'm going, how can you say you care for the kids? Go after the parents.
Reporting for East County Magazine, this is Rachel Williams.
This is KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso in the heart of San Diego's East County.
Otay Water District Board Member Hector Gastelum is in hot water after sending derogatory tweets about Muslims on his Twitter account. One of his tweets called Muslim immigrants subhuman scum. In another tweet, he stated that Islam and Sharia law aren't compatible with civil society and equality. Ratepayers held a protest at last week's water board meeting calling on Gastelum to resign or face a recall election. Some voiced hurt and anger over his remarks. Mona Dibas, a Muslim student, said if Gastelum won't resign, we will force you as a community to step down from your position. Hanif Mohebi, executive director of the Council of American Islamic Relations, says there is a pattern of Gastelum projecting Islamophobic anti-Muslim rhetoric. Gastelum told 10 News that his comments were not meant to target all Muslims, but specifically those who are, quote, gang-raping women, stoning them to death, or throwing homosexuals from the roof. He said he believes people are hypersensitive and that he did not mean to be hurtful. At last week's water board meeting, the crowd booed when Gastelum began speaking. He apologized for his tweets, which he has removed, and said he was not referring to good Muslims. Instead, he said, when women get treated like secondhand citizens, it makes me insane. The audience interrupted with chants of resign, drowning out his words. The board adopted a resolution that condemns discrimination and prohibits board members or district employees from making any public statements that are discriminatory based on religion, race, or other factors. After the meeting, Gastelum told 10 News that he will not resign. If ratepayers succeed in getting enough signatures to force a special election to decide if Gastelum should be recalled, it would be costly for ratepayers who would foot the bill. But leaving a public official in office who has voiced views perceived by many as religious hate speech can also be costly in its impact on community members. Mohebi says the issue of prejudice in public officials goes far beyond the Otay Water District. What do we do as a community, as a city, as a county, he asks, when our public officials, the very people that represent a community, come up with these bigoted views? Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, the Network for Social Justice, this is Gene Carpenter.
Now it's time for the Green Scene Report, highlighting energy, environmental, and sustainability issues in our community.
This is John Fisteer with a Green Scene Report. President Donald Trump has issued an executive order to rescind Clean Water Act protections for small streams, instead creating a new rule allowing more pollution. That action threatens drinking water supplies for millions of Americans, including over 679,000 residents in San Diego County, according to data obtained from the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency. The Clean Water Act has long protected America's drinking water supplies, but industrial and factory farm lobbyists have long pushed for rollbacks on clean water regulations that cut into their profits. An interactive map of the U.S. created by the EPA allows you to click on any county and learn if drinking water is at risk from the impending rule change. In San Diego County, Waterways affected include 106 miles of headwater streams, 169 miles of intermittent streams, and 22 miles of perennial streams. Statewide, 3 million Californians could have their drinking water threatened after Environmental Protection Agency Chair Scott Pruitt complies with Trump's order. Pruitt, as former Attorney General for Arkansas, repeatedly joined with the coal and gas industries to sue the EPA in efforts to weaken clean air and water protections. The exact opposite of the agency's mission to protect public health and a clean environment for wildlife.
Attorney General Jeff Sessions has announced that he will recuse himself from a federal investigation into the Russians' interference in the 2016 presidential election after bipartisan pressure for him to step aside. The action follows a Washington Post investigative story which revealed that Sessions, while a senator active in Donald Trump's campaign last year, met twice with Russia's ambassador, including a private meeting. But when asked during his Senate confirmation hearing how he would react if he learned that the Trump campaign had talks with Russian officials, Sessions gave a misleading response. He testified under oath, "I have been called a surrogate at a time or two in that campaign, and I did not have communications with the Russians." Now some Democrats are calling for a criminal investigation of Sessions for perjury, also urging him to resign. Ironically, Sessions once voted to impeach President Bill Clinton on perjury grounds during the Monica Lewinsky scandal. Prominent Republicans have joined with Democrats in demanding that Sessions recuse himself from the Russian probe, but have not called on him to resign his office or face a criminal probe. A key question is whether the investigation will now be headed up by the second highest official in the Justice Department, Dana Buente, an Obama appointee, or whether a special prosecutor will be appointed to lead the investigation into ties between Russia, the Trump campaign, and key administration officials. Normally, an independent prosecutor is appointed by the Attorney General, but given Sessions' recusal, he cannot appoint a special prosecutor and appear impartial. Some Democrats are proposing legislation that would have a 3-judge panel name a special prosecutor, but passage would require support from Republicans to investigate the Republican president's administration, and so far, that doesn't seem likely. Republican Senator Jason Chaffetz from Utah, chair of the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee, tweeted unequivocally, "Attorney General Sessions should clarify his testimony and recuse himself." Susan Collins, Republican of Maine, who introduced Sessions during his confirmation hearing, also called on him to recuse himself. 4 of San Diego's 5 congressional representatives have weighed in with their opinions. Democrat Scott Peters stated, "A nominee for attorney general perjured himself under oath twice in the course of his job interview with the Senate about contacts with a foreign government that is known to have interfered in our election. I ask my Republican colleagues, if that is not cause for an independent investigation and a special prosecutor, what is?" Republican Daryl Issa has called for an independent inquiry if and only if there are accusations of crimes committed. Susan Davis, Democrat San Diego, stated, "An attorney general who needs to recuse himself on an investigation this important should not head the Department of Justice." She called on Sessions to resign. Juan Vargas, Democrat San Diego, had this to say, "It is not enough for Sessions to recuse himself from any Trump-Russia-related investigations. He must resign as Attorney General. There must be an independent, bipartisan, outside commission to investigate President Trump's ties to Russia." Duncan Hunter, Republican Alpine, an early and vocal supporter of Trump, has thus far not issued a public statement on the Sessions controversy. Those calling for an independent prosecutor want the probe to go beyond Sessions and examine Russia's efforts to sway the presidential election and interactions between Russia and Trump's campaign officials, several of whom had strong ties to Russia and Vladimir Putin. For instance, a former campaign manager of Trump's formerly worked to rig elections in the Ukraine to elect a pro-Putin candidate and allegedly helped launder money for Russian oligarchs. Many of Trump's cabinet officials also have troubling Russian ties, including former National Security Director Michael Flynn, who was fired by Trump after revelations that he lied to Vice President Mike Pence about Flynn's conversations with a Russian official regarding sanctions against Russia before Trump was elected. In addition, 8 Russian intelligence agents have turned up dead under suspicious circumstances in recent weeks. All had ties to leaked intelligence data, suggesting that Russians may have information with which to blackmail President Trump. Despite the controversy, President Trump has said he has total confidence in Sessions. Shortly before Sessions' recusal, when asked by reporters he believes Sessions should recuse himself, Trump replied, "I don't think so." Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Gene Carpenter. State or local officials who discuss public business on private email accounts or in phone text messages must turn those communications over when asked under a Public Records Act request. The California Supreme Court has ruled unanimously. Some public officials have sought to avoid scrutiny by the press or public through use of private email accounts, such as former Secretary of State Clinton, infamously utilized at the federal level. Some officials have claimed a need for privacy to discuss sensitive matters or voice unpopular viewpoints. But open government advocates have argued successfully that such actions amount to evading public disclosure required under state law. After lower courts weighed in on this issue, many jurisdictions have already taken action to advise officials to communicate only through official channels on government business. Others have warned officials that use of private email could subject such communications to public disclosure. Still, others are now scrambling to address the matter. So if you email an elected official or staffer in California and mention public business, be aware that your full conversation is part of the public record, even if you're both using private email addresses or text messaging on your mobile phones. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Gene Carpenter.
This is Jonathan Getz reporting from La Mesa. La Mesa City Council spent over an hour at its recent meeting considering changes to the city's marijuana laws. The city attorney, Glenn Sabine, gave a presentation to educate council members after consulting with an expert on cannabis taxing and conditional use permits. La Mesa voters approved Measure U in November, which legalized medical marijuana dispensaries, so staff is moving forward to update the municipal code and grant conditional use permits for medical cannabis dispensaries. Each dispensary must comply with distance limits, such as from schools, and will require approval by a majority of council members. Under California law, medical cannabis is not subject to sales tax. Thus, the council is directing staff to come up with a weight tax or something else that will pass judicial muster to generate revenues. Statewide, voters approved Proposition 64, which legalized recreational marijuana. But Prop 64 gives local councils the right to ban sale of recreational pot. So La Mesa's council voted to prohibit recreational pot shops. However, deliveries from licensed facilities in other jurisdictions will be allowed. Prop 64 allows the growing of up to 6 marijuana plants per household for recreational use. La Mesa's council also voted to ban growing pot plants outdoors, though indoor growing will be allowed. The new law aims to prevent abuses such as theft of plants grown outdoors. Councilmember Christine Alicio wanted to go further and require people who want to grow up to 6 plants to register in a city database, but did not win support from the other council members for that proposal. In other news, La Mesa's council is accepting a lease termination from MacArthur Park and Sun Valley Golf Course Management. The council was unanimous in wanting to keep MacArthur Park and Sun Valley Golf Course open to the public, but possibly not only for golf. The council invites proposals for other potential uses for the site that would benefit the public.
This is Janice Russell, host of People Power, profiling people and organizations making a positive difference in our community and our world.
This is Gene Carpenter with East County Magazine's People Power. La Mesa's local heroes had their own red carpet moment at the La Mesa Chamber of Commerce's 9th annual Salute to Local Heroes held recently at the Town and Country Hotel. Chamber President Mary England states, "This year's six heroes are as important to our community as any Best Picture or Best Actor award. They have made a tremendous impact on the lives of others. Their heroic feats include delivering a baby under unusual circumstances, saving a young man's life after a severe traffic accident, recovering 117 stolen vehicles worth over $1.3 million, solving a cold case homicide, and seizing illegal drugs and firearms in a case that resulted in 86 arrests. In addition to honoring first responders in the La Mesa Police Department, fire and paramedic crews, the chamber also honored two retired senior volunteer patrol members for helping the police department with thousands of volunteer hours. This year's heroes were Elizabeth Robinson from American Medical Response, Fire Captain Billy Doig from Heartland Fire and Rescue, Detectives Tim Cook and Jacob Colt in the La Mesa Police Department, and retired senior volunteer patrol members Mike Sparks and Bill Walton. Yes, the famous former NBA superstar is still a local hero, giving back to his community in La Mesa.
You're listening to KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, broadcasting from the desert to the sea.
Welcome to Destination East County with your hosts, Rebecca Williamson
and Jonathan Getz, bringing you the top festivals, events, and attractions across East County
each week. This week's Destination East County includes a honey festival, tomato mania, open house at a camel dairy, a healthy living fair, and a stargazing party.
Plus, we'll tell you about coming attractions, including the Circle of Art show, a lilac festival, a piano and violin concert, a street fair with carnival rides, the famous Peg Leg Smith Liars competition, Sweet Pea Days, a taste of Julian, and a chili cook-off with a hot rod contest.
So stay tuned for all of these events and many others.
Alpine was once known as the honey production capital of the world. Now here's the buzz. On Saturday, March 11th from 10 to 4, Alpine Mountain Empire Chamber of Commerce will present the first annual Honey Festival to celebrate the region's sweet success. The event will include food, vintage vendors, and kids activities. The Honey Festival will have six event locations: Park at Joan Jaquin Middle School, where shuttles leave every 15 minutes. To get the buzz on all Honey Festival activities, you can visit alpinechamber.com.
California's largest tomato seedling sale is back, and the garden at Queen Mecca College is the only San Diego location this spring. Tomato Mania features hundreds of heirloom and hybrid tomato varieties, expert advice, and the accessories to grow tomatoes in your own backyard. The event will be held March 11th and 12th from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. with a special presentation at 11 a.m. each day on best growing practices. For more information, visit thegarden.org.
The Oasis Camel Dairy will host an open house and tour on March 11th and 12th from 1 to 4 p.m. Friendly farm animals, curious camels, and an animal show featuring performing parrots, racing turkeys, working farm dogs, and majestic camels starts at 1:30. Guests can ride camels, pet, and get great selfies while they feed treats to these gentle giants. You can also visit a mini farm animal petting zoo or shop for camel milk chocolate, lotion, and soaps in the gift shop. For more information, visit CamelDairy.com.
You're invited to spring into healthy living on March 15th from 9 a.m. to 12 noon at the McGrath Family YMCA in Spring Valley. The health and wellness fair for seniors will include free health screenings, speakers, and information on how to avoid scams, driver safety, and fire safety, and more. Health screenings will include blood pressure, balance, body mass index, a hearing test, stroke screening, check your mood, and more, you can also learn about senior-friendly exercise demonstrations, senior resources, and enjoy a healthy continental breakfast. The Healthy Living event is organized by the AARP, or ARP, East County Chamber of Commerce, Grossmont Healthcare District. For details and breakfast reservations, you can call 1-877-926-8300 or visit the East County Chamber's website at business.eastcountychamber.org and click on their calendar. A star party will be held at the Sycamore Gooden Reserve in Lakeside on March 17th from 6 to 8 p.m. You're invited to join volunteer astronomers from the San Diego Astronomy Association and county park staff for a night under the stars, viewing our galaxy using the same technology used by professionals to witness out-of-this-world phenomena. Inclement weather could cancel this event. For more information, you can call 858-513-4737. Now for a preview of coming attractions.
The 28th Annual Circle of Art Show and Art Sale Celebrating Art in the Desert will take place Saturday, March 18th from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. and Sunday, March 19th from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. at Christmas Circle in Borrego Springs. Over 60 artists will display their works. There will also be live music performances and foods available. Plus, this is an ideal time of year to watch for spring wildflowers blooming across the Anza Borrego Desert. For details, see circle-of-art.org.
Fort Cross Old-Timey Adventures in Santa Ysabel invites you to savor springtime at a lilac festival on March 25th and 26th. Stroll through organic, sweet-smelling lilac groves in the mountains near Julian, or hop on a hayride to enjoy views on a scenic nature loop. Plus, you'll find an array of unusual activities reflecting the community's rich pioneer heritage. Jesse Cross, a dance caller and music man, will play live music and lead any willing participants through square dancing and hootenanny dance steps, listen to a lively hoedown, or pick up an instrument and join the jog band. You can also try your skill at tomahawk throwing, visit a petting zoo, get your face painted, make a fairy garden, paint a flower vase to keep and dip your own lilac-themed candle the old-fashioned way. Potted lilacs and fragrant lilac stems will be available for purchase. For full details on the Lilac Festival, you can visit fortcross.com.
Violinist Alexandra Keegan and pianist Justin Gray will perform sonatas for violin and piano at Cuyamaca College's Performing Arts Theater on March 22nd at 7 p.m. Keegan is a Cuyamaca College instructor and coordinator of the East County Youth Symphony. Gray is the music director of the Welk Resort San Diego Theater, as well as chairman and founder of the San Diego Interfaith Choir and Orchestra. For tickets and details, visit cuyamaca.edu/performingarts.
On Sunday, March 26th, from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., the 21st Annual Rolando Street Fair will be held on Rolando Boulevard, south of El Cajon Boulevard. The event includes over 130 vendors with handcrafts, foods, carnival rides, and kids' activities. Live music bands will include Len Rainey and the Midnight Players, Trey Tosh and the band called Life, The Routine, Paul Cannon, Iron Sagewood, and Cassidy and the Music. Nearly 15,000 people attend this family-friendly event every year.
On April 4th, the Anza Borrego Desert State Park attracts storytellers from all over the globe to compete in the annual Peg Leg Smith Liars Contest. Thomas L. Smith, better known as Peg Leg Smith in the 1800s, was a mountain man, prospector, and spinner of tall tales. Legends regarding his lost gold mine have grown through the years, and countless people have searched the desert for its fabulous wealth. The mine could be within a few miles of this monument. All comers are welcome to enter the contest. Sign up is on arrival at the contest site, which is held at the Peg Leg Smith Memorial, about 7 miles east of Borrego Springs along Route S-22. Specifically, the storytelling contest takes place on Henderson Canyon Road, 1,000 feet north of Peg Leg Road. Presentations are done in order of sign-up. Stories should be of no more than 5 minutes in length. Another little joke. Tall tales should be about lost gold and or Peg Leg Smith. Costumes and other original touches are always appreciated by the crowd and judges. For more information on this annual contest, visit peglegsmith at desert.com.
It's a sweet pea day at Summers Pass Farms in Flint Springs on Saturday, April 8th from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. You can cut your own bouquet starting at 11 a.m. until the beautiful blooms are gone. You're invited to weave through a towering sweet pea maze in full glory. You can also picnic on a grassy area or enjoy live music in the coffee bar's shady pavilion while savoring springtime in East County. For details and directions, visit summerspassfarms.com.
The Hamul Kiwanis Club is vroom vroom revving up for its 9th annual Hot Rod and Chili Cook-Off on April 8th from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. at Pio Pico Thousand Trails in Hamul. Guests can savor chili tasting, check out classic hot rods, cool off in a beer garden, or vie for prizes in drawings and a silent auction. For more information, you can visit hamulkiwanis.org.
The 9th annual Taste of Julian will be held on April 8th, serving up a rural dining adventure. Taste of Julian is a self-guided culinary tour of unique restaurants, wineries, and breweries. For tickets and details, go to visitjulian.com.
That's all for this week.
If you have an event you'd like added to our calendar, or if you would like to sponsor the Destination East County column on our website, or the Destination East County show on KNSJ Radio, you can contact editor at eastcountymagazine.org. Destination East County is the most read feature on our website.
We'll be back next week with more festivals, events, and attractions in San Diego's East County.
See you around, East County.
Now it's time for the Green Scene Report, highlighting energy, environmental, and sustainability issues in our community.
This is John Fastier with East County Magazine's Green Scene Report. After years of drought, torrential rains during this wet winter have raised levels dramatically at local reservoirs. The Lower Otay Reservoir reached 100% capacity last week, so a spillway was opened for the overflow. Lake Poway came within inches of overflowing, closing hiking trails at the lake. In East County, Lake Jennings is at 92% capacity, Lake Murray is at 91%, and San Vicente has reached 76%. El Capitan is now at 40%, up from 33% just 1 week earlier. Loveland Reservoir is at 58%. Lake Cuyamaca is at 44%. Lake Sutherland, 35%. And Sweetwater, 28%. Even Barrett Lake, which had been drained down by the city of San Diego to very low levels to supply drinking water during the drought, is now back at 28.5%. Only Lake Morena is still very low at 5.8%, due to the city of San Diego draining the reservoir down to 5% and evaporation dipping it further to a mere 2.8% just a couple of months ago. But even 5.8% is a welcome improvement, more than doubling the level in recent weeks. Elsewhere in the county, Lake Hodges is 80% full, and Lake Miramar nearly 85%. From Sunday to Tuesday this week, the deluge dropped more than 9 inches of rain on Palomar Mountain. Here in East County, nearly 8 inches fell on Mount Woodson. Lake Cuyamaca reached over 6 inches of rain, and more than 5 inches in Ramona were recorded. This Saturday and Sunday, a storm swooping in from Alaska is forecast to bring 20 to 40% chance of even more rain, the National Weather Service predicts. So keep your umbrellas handy and remember, all these showers are great not only for boosting local water supplies, but also filling up reservoirs enjoyed by local residents and tourists for fishing, water sports, boating, or exploring our local lakes aboard a kayak or canoe.
This is Liz Albert with an Aztecs football report. Danny Gonzalez, who has been the safeties coach with the San Diego State football team since 2011, helping the Aztecs to a league-high 3 Mountain West titles over that span, has been promoted to defensive coordinator by head coach Rocky Long, the team announced Monday. Gonzalez, who has spent each of his 14 years coaching with Long, helped SDSU lead the country in interceptions in 2016, a year after San Diego State's 23 picks ranked in the tie for second in the nation. The Aztecs' 49 interceptions over the last two seasons are 9 more than the next team and the most in the two-year span in FBS play since Boston College had 51 in the 2007 and 2008 campaign. Since Gonzalez has coached the SDSU safeties in 2011, San Diego State's 100 interceptions are the third most in the country, while its 14 interceptions returned for a touchdown are tied for the fifth most over that span. Under his guidance, Gonzalez has had two Aztecs make the All-Mountain West team 3 times apiece, including current New York Giant Nat Berhe and Malik Smith. Smith and Berhe are the only two SDSU safeties to earn All-Mountain West accolades 3 consecutive years. Prior to joining SDSU, Gonzalez coached the safeties, punters, kickers, and deep snappers at New Mexico from 2005 to 2008 under Long. Gonzalez coached numerous players to all-conference honors with the Lobos, including consensus All-American kicker John Sullivan and NFL draft picks Quincy Black and Glover Quinn. Gonzalez was also a graduate coach with UNM from 1999 to 2002. Gonzalez has coached in 9 bowl games, including 6 straight while a member of the San Diego State staff. He also coached in 3 bowl games while at New Mexico. Gonzalez was a 3-year letter winner with the Lobos as a safety and punter, earning the Chuck Cummings Memorial Award for morale and spirit as a senior. He helped the 1997 UNM squad win the Western Athletic Conference Mountain Division title and compete in the Insight.com Bowl, finishing with a 9-4 record.
This is KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso in the heart of San Diego's East County.
The East County Magazine Show airs Mondays and Fridays on KNSJ from 5 o'clock to 6 o'clock p.m. You can listen live at 89.1 FM or online at knsj.org. You can also listen anywhere by downloading the TuneIn application for your smartphone. For details, visit tunein.com.
You're listening to KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, the network for social justice.
This concludes today's episode of East County Magazine's radio show. We extend our appreciation to the Heartland Coalition, our parent nonprofit, and to KNSJ 89.1 FM, broadcasting from the heart of East County and Descanso. We extend our appreciation to our sound technician, Liz Alper, and to our producer, Miriam Raftery. We also thank the musicians who provided music for our show, Laura Preble, Jim Hannibal, Corey Clement, Giovanni Galicia and the Smashing Beats, Donnie Gentile, Wooden Ambulance, Dusty Summer Road, A.K. Jules, Brian Boykel, Royalty Free Music, Frank Nora, Kevin McLeod, April's Dance from the Smart Sound Solo Simplicity Collection, Turco, Nomads of the Silk Road, Blues Free Music, and Pond 5. If you have story ideas or would like to underwrite the East County Magazine radio show, please contact editor@eastcountymagazine.org or call 619-698-7617. We'll be back soon for another edition of East County Magazine's radio show.